And our text for this, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, his first epistle to them, the fourth chapter. And we will read verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 11. That's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 13 through 5, 11, where we read in the name of our Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know well, perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a day as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we give you thanks for this word by which you comfort us. Grant us, Father, to receive your comfort. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This is one of these days and one of these texts as we sit here in the paradise of the north and we recognize everything that goes around in the world all around us and we realize all of these different things. This is one of these days when all I wanted to do is read this text, and honest to goodness, I was going to read this text and then pray the closing prayer and then sit down and just see what you would look like. You know, the reality of things is there's nothing more to be said to this text. That's not the problem. The problem is that God is so gracious and God is so kind and God is so merciful that, as a matter of fact, that's the hardest thing for us to deal with. We keep trying to find reasons why we should worry about stuff. And especially when we look around what's going on in the world, we have a media that feeds us this information to make sure that we will not be comfortable at any point. The one thing that we are not allowed to have is peace. And you recognize why, because if you're at peace, you recognize that you probably don't need this thing that's going to cost you four easy payments of $19.99 a month. If you're at peace, you don't really need to hand over your credit card to those people to find you a new Medicare plan, Martha. God have mercy on us. This is what we do. Because somehow or another, we're afraid we're going to miss out. That in some weird shape or form, and this is the whole left behind thing, you make people afraid. Be afraid. And they turn this thing into a weird mythology that it is not. Because when Paul is talking about this, he isn't talking about something that's going to happen and all of a sudden, you know, your UPS driver is going to disappear and you're going to be sitting around wondering what happened. No, that's a myth. That was invented in the intertestamental times. It was proffered and brought out by the rabbis later after the temple was destroyed because they didn't have anything left to go to, so they made up all of this junk. There isn't anything about what Paul is talking about here, not even close. All he's talking about is you don't need to be afraid of anything. That's what he's saying. And you see, the whole point of this is in the earlier part of chapter 4, he says, you need to be a witness to the world, is what he says. You need to be a witness of the goodness of God in the world. He says, that you may walk honestly, is what he says in verse 12. He says, that you may walk honestly towards those that are outside. He says that you can live an honest life, that you don't live a life shrinking in fear, that all of a sudden when something happens and somebody does something around the world, that you don't crumble, that you don't start to fall apart, and you don't start to look around and say, well, what now? Jesus, come save us. And Jesus is saying, I already did. Why don't you people just let me save you? And that's precisely the point of why he wrote this. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unknowing, is literally what this means in Greek. I don't want you to be unknowing. He says, because the greatest thing that causes people to fear is their security and their lack of it and their death. And this causes them to fear. And he says very clearly, he says, I don't want you to show that to people outside. He says, you shouldn't show that to people outside. If you're showing that to people outside, he says, then you've missed precisely the whole point. He says, there's nothing for you to fear. He says, and I don't want you to have sorrow like these other people because they have no hope. He says, you need to understand you have the greatest hope ever. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. And we can't die. We're not allowed. You don't have permission to die. If you are in Jesus Christ, you do not have permission to die. You will not die. That's exactly what the scripture says. You will not die. Your physical body may cease to function, but you may not die. You will not die. You are never going to die. You are going to live forever. And that's why he says this. He says very clearly, I want you to understand, you're not going to get left behind. He says that's just nonsense. When he uses the term left behind here, what he means by that is those of us who haven't died ahead of time, he says those of us that are still left, he says when Jesus comes and ends everything, we're just going to go with him, that's all. He says you don't have anything to worry about. He says, absolutely nothing do you have to worry about. If you're reading the internet, or you are reading and listening to these people, stop it. All they're doing is trying to steal your peace, and you know why? Because they sell books. The reality of things is the book that they should read is this one. But they only give you this stuff in bits and pieces. They never tell you the whole story. Because this is the point. The point is to not have you be afraid. The point is to tell you that you don't need to buy another book. The point is that you don't need some guru to tell you. That you don't need some special prophet. You don't need any of that stuff. And that's why Paul says this. He says, I'm just telling you straight ahead. He says, I got this word directly from the Lord, he says, that Jesus is going to come for us. And when he comes for us, we're just going to remain with him. And he says, and we're not going ahead of the people who have already physically died, because he says he's going to raise them too. He's going to raise us all physically. And when the Lord comes, he says, there's going to be a great shout from an archangel. There's going to be the trumpet of God sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us who are alive and are left behind, is what he says. Those of us who are left, he says, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. He says, to meet the Lord in the air. In other words, when God decides that this is over, this is how this is going to go. And that's all there is to it. And it's not going to take 7 years. It's not going to take some long amount of time. Jesus never said that. Jesus said it's going to be like lightning flashing through the sky. I don't think that takes 7 years. I don't think it takes 3.5 years. I don't think it takes any of those numbers that people like to throw out about this, grabbing them from the Old Testament out of context and hauling them into the coming of Jesus Christ. It says that quick. I've told you before, St. Peter says it's like putting milk on Rice Krispies. He says it's snap, crackle, pop. That's it. That's how this goes. Just so quick. In fact, the Greek words are onomatopoeia. They're whoosh and crackle. Good stuff. This is what it is. That's how the world ends. Are you going to sit around and fret about whoosh and crackle? But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, so comfort one another with these words. That's exactly the opposite of what these people do. They don't want you to be comfortable. They want exactly the opposite. They want you to be unnerved. They want you to worry. They want you to think, have you really done enough for Jesus? That's always one of my favorite things. Have you really done enough for Jesus? Well, what exactly were you going to do for him? Yeah, that's right. That would be nothing. Jesus doesn't need you to do anything for him. Jesus did it all for you. To turn around and throw that back in his face, St. Paul says that's to tread his blood underfoot. Why would you do that? We don't do that. We acknowledge Jesus. So what do? We acknowledge his coming, and we turn around and we comfort one another with these words. We tell people all the time when they start doing their stuff on the internet or they're reading this stuff out of this book, we tell them, no, stop that. Read this. Read this. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says right away. But of the times and seasons, he says, the times and seasons, that's what people always do. Well, you know, we're looking at the times and the seasons and all those sorts. Paul says, of the times and seasons, you don't even need me to write anything more about. Because I don't need to write anything more to you about that. He says, you know with completeness, you know fully. He says, perfectly is what the King James says. Accurately is what this Greek word means. He says, you know with full accuracy that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. He says, this is how quick it's going to be. He says, it's not going to be when anybody expects it. And he says, and when it happens, everybody's going to say, everything's really good. Are people running around telling you it's really good? Well, then you don't got nothing to worry about, do you? That's what he says. When people are all running around saying everything is great and everything's good, he says, then bang, that's how it happens. Pour the milk on the Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop. He says very clearly, he says, then he says, this is sudden destruction that happens. He says, but you, he says, you guys, he says, you understand, you're not in darkness. You're not in that darkness. You're not in that. He says, as a matter of fact, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, you're not in that darkness. That day can't overtake you as a thief. He says, as a matter of fact, you're all the children of light. He says, you're the children of light. And you're children of the day. He says, in other words, you see and you know. He already said, you know perfectly. You know with complete accuracy. He says, you're not of the night, you're not of the darkness. He says, so we're not sound asleep like other people. He says, we're wide awake. He says, we know what's going on. He says, we're very well aware of this. He says, the people that sleep, they sleep in the night, but we're not of the night. He says, the people who are drunk, they're drunk in the night. He says, but we're not of the night. He says, let us who are of the day, he says, be clear-minded. Level-headed is what this word actually means. He says, be level-headed. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, it means understand. Don't let anybody rob you of this stuff. Be level-headed. Don't be given over to this nonsense. Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you. And he rose from the dead for you. And he shed his blood to take away your sin for you. And he loves you so much that he did all of that in order to procure your salvation for eternity. He gave it to us. He just gave it to us. And that's what Paul is saying. Well, he gave it to us. Why do we not want it? Why do we think that somehow or another, I got to put some sort of roadblock in front of this to say somehow or another, it just can't be that easy? When it is. It's just that easy. It's just that simple. And he says, we who are of the day, he says, we're level-headed. He says, we have the breastplate. He says, in other words, protecting our chest. He says, is our faith and love. The love of God and our faith in God protects our chest. It keeps us from getting all this worked up inside garbage. And he says, and we have a helmet. He says, that protects our head from getting stupid. He says, so we have a helmet. He says, the helmet protects us from eating stupid pills. And says very clearly, that's the hope of your salvation. In other words, understanding, God has saved you. Do you think he's like some goofy guy up there that says, well, I really didn't mean it, pull a tablecloth out from under you? No. No. Why? Why do we make God like that when he's not? He's anything but that. He is kind. He is merciful. And he is gracious. He's gracious. This is the hope of your salvation, is to understand that that's a fixed reality in Jesus Christ. Nothing, nothing. I repeat this all the time, and I don't mind doing it. I don't care how old I am. And it gets better when I get older, because then I can repeat stuff more and people can't say anything. But the fact of the matter is that that's exactly what the scripture says over and over and over again. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How many times do you need to hear that? How many times do we need to hear that to understand nothing, 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 neither death nor life? And you know that list from Romans 8. He goes through all that stuff. He says, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That includes the internet, that includes the media, that includes the news, and that includes all of those people that are trying to hit you up for $19.95 a month. Nothing, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, 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 nothing. You will never be left behind. God says you're graven on the palm of his hand. Could he leave you behind? You look and see how Travis is with his son. Would he leave him? I'm pretty sure not. Pretty sure not. Crying out loud, I like him so much, I wouldn't leave him either. It was Leon. And this is where you get to that point of understanding this is exactly the way that God is. When Jesus left this earth to his disciples, he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He said, I will always be with you, even until the end of time. He says, even until this time, he says, I'll be with you. I will always be with you. And Paul says this great thing in verse 9, which I think every person should have to memorize. In fact, I may do that, and next time if you want to get in the door, you may have to recite this verse. He says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For God has not appointed us to wrath. But he has appointed us. He appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he gave it to us. He gave it to us. And he says, and he died for us. He says, so that whether we're awake or whether we're sleeping, so in other words, that you can sleep at night if Jesus comes. He says, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, he says, we're going to live together with him. We're going to be together with him forever. And he knows how this goes. And he says, so comfort yourselves together. He says, make sure that that's what you're doing. He says, you remind each other of this all the time. You remind each other. You were not appointed to wrath. You were not appointed to wrath. You were appointed to obtain salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the shedding of his blood, takes away all of your sin. Well, you can't really mean all of it, do you? You see, that's how we work. You can't really mean that, can you? He didn't really take away all of it. Yes, he did. He took away all of it. All of it. So that there is no need for us to even have any memory of it, because like God says, he doesn't have any memory of it. He took away all of it. All of it. And he says, and that's how we comfort each other. And we encourage one another. And he says, just the way you're doing. So what he says to the Thessalonians, he says, I understand that's exactly what you do. You comfort one another. You encourage one another. He says, because you understand the frailty of humanity. And this is the problem that we have. We live in fear. We're fearful by nature. But God has given us a new nature that transcends our fear, that says we have this wonderful thing, peace. We have peace. Do you know why there's no peace in the world? It's because we keep obscuring this message with junk. We make it hard for people to simply believe the reality of it. This is it. That's all there is to it. You're serious. You mean God just gave this to us? Yes. That is exactly what we mean. He gave this. So, all right. And you know I'm lying when I say this. I got $1 million. I don't. So I got $1 million. And I give you $1 million. And I tell you, here's $1 million. And you look at me and you say, nah. Or you look at me and you say, nah, that can't happen. I'm not going to tell you what I think of you. But it begins with D and ends with B. The reality is I just gave you $1 million. Why wouldn't you just take it? God gave us something greater than $1 million. He gave us his son to give us eternal life so that we would live with him forever. And he freely told us, I just freely bestow this upon you. And he says, freely you have received, freely give it. You see, we aren't going to fix the problems in this world. Paul had plenty of them going on in Rome at this time. He was writing with the Thessalonians. He didn't allow that to distract him for a minute. He knew what was really key because it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And Jesus keeps us. And Jesus watches over us. And Jesus provides for us. And Jesus is our Lord. And he never takes that lightly. When Jesus says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, he means it. He means it. He couldn't do otherwise. Even up to the end of the world, even to the end of the world, even when the milk hits the Rice Krispies, even when the snap, crackle, and pop, the whoosh and crackle that happens at the end of everything happens, we will never be separated from him. He will keep us with him forever. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's all you ever need to know about the end of the world. There isn't another thing because there isn't anything else available. Jesus told us there wouldn't be anything else available. He said, if you want a sign of my coming, he says, it will be my crucifixion. It's my death and my resurrection. It guarantees your life. It's the shedding of his blood that guarantees the forgiveness of your sins. And it is his resurrection that guarantees us peace. That's why we do this thing where we say, God's peace, because you have it in Jesus Christ. You have God's peace. So God's peace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who look upon us with such favor through your Son, Jesus the Christ, you who bore our sin to Calvary's cross, you who washed it all away in your precious blood, and you who rose again to give us life eternally and to give us peace, to you be all honor, glory, and praise. And we look to you, Father, day in and day out, to remind us once again of all that you have done. That, Father, you are fully worthy of our trust, and we have our chest covered with that faith of knowing that that faith acknowledges your great love for us. And we have our heads covered, Father, to understand that with that wonderful helmet, we are kept from thinking otherwise because we are kept in the joy of your salvation. And we pray, Father, this day and every day, regardless of what comes down the pike, you would keep our eyes fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith. Never allow us to get distracted, but grant us your peace. for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.